This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper a Michigander, because I would invite her on no matter what, because I just think she's so fantastic. It is really always a thrill for me when I get to talk to somebody who actually remembers Detroit in the good days. Hi, this is really wonderful to welcome Deborah Goodrich Royce to Joy on Paper. We're going to be talking about her wonderful book called Reef Road. Hi, Deborah.
Hello, Patsy. Well, thank you.
Okay, well, we were in Detroit just about the same time, think. And I have a lot of fond memories of it. And I remember when I read your book, Mrs. Ford.
Finding Mrs. Ford.
And that, of course, was set in Detroit. And I got a kick out of that. And just, I got a kick out of talking to somebody from Detroit. How are you?
I am great, and I'm so glad to be talking to you. I was in Florida up until yesterday.
Oh.
Now I'm in rainy Connecticut.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was glorious here yesterday. Oh, it was just...
Perfect day.
Perfect. So, wow, you've done pretty good for a girl from Detroit, huh?
Well, I've had a lot of good luck. A lot of good fortune, and, you know, kind of a cool life, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I have to tell you this. You know, we're going to talk about your book a lot, but, you know, of course, my sister, her soap opera was All My Children. I mean, that was, she watched that really religiously. And she is so thrilled today, and she's listening in. Her name is Natalie. So, would Silver Cane please say hello to my sister, Natalie?
Hi, Natalie. This is Silver Cane. So, yeah, I mean, I was lucky. That was really my first big break, and I played Erica's sister. And as we all know, she was the star of all stars throughout her career on All My Children, and I had a lucky couple of years to play her sister, her crazy sister, her bad sister.
Yeah, that's what my sister tells. And I was working, actually, I was living outside of the country most of that time. But my sister knows the program so well, and she will be thrilled. I will have to clip this and maybe put it on her phone so she can hear it over and over. So, well, you know, when I, as I said, Finding Mrs. Ford, I thought was such a great book. You are, well, actually, you know, I don't get a lot of royalty here, but I understand somebody crowned you Queen of Plot Twists. So,
That was so nice. That was Annie Philbrick, who owns an incredible bookstore in Rhode Island. Yes, I'll take it.
Yes, and you deserve it, because you are a twisty person, I tell you.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing you bring up, and a lot of your program talks to writers, and as writers know, there's a difference between a reveal and a twist. A reveal is when you figure out who it is who actually killed somebody, but you kind of know who the suspects are. A twist is when you come to understand all at once that what you thought was going on is not at all what is going on, and that's what I think I write.
Oh, you do. I love psychological thrillers. I think there's something so wonderful about them. You get so tied up in it, you forget about everything else, which is what sometimes you need. You don't want to know what's going on in the world, but you are so involved in that book. And then when we get one of your twists, we think, oh, wow, we think to ourselves, this is one heck of a writer.
Well, thank you for saying that. I had an editor once give me the note to rewatch the movie The Sixth Sense, and if you remember that film, or if you don't, I won't spoil it, but there's a moment of that kind of a twist where you realize that this is not at all what you thought it was. But in the movie, they give you flashbacks of that little breadcrumb trail that leads you where you could have seen what was going on if you knew to look. And so I always put the breadcrumb trail in, but you don't necessarily know where you're looking to find it.
Exactly. Ooh, you get us all thrilled and excited and shivering up our spines as we're reading this. But this story is actually based on a real story from your life, and so that makes it even more interesting.
It is. So Reef Road is my Florida book. It is set in Palm Beach, Florida. I was there in the spring of 2020 when the lockdown, you know, closed us all in wherever we were. And at that moment, I'd been on a book tour for Finding Mrs. Ford, which, of course, ended. And I thought, now is the moment when I will really dig in and do the research on the real-life murder of my own mother's best friend, which happened in Pittsburgh on December the 10th, 1948. My mother and her girlfriend were 12, and her friend was murdered at home. It was a Friday night, and my mother was supposed to be there. Her little friend Carol was baking a cake, and her parents came home from bowling and found her stabbed 36 times next to the telephone table. And it has remained an unsolved crime, which is a pretty, you know, recognizable syndrome, the effect of a crime like that on people who are not actually the victim, people who were close to the victim. And that is what I wanted to explore. If you think about Dominic Dunn and the way he became this journalist who really was exploring some of our most sensationalistic murder trials, his daughter was murdered in 1984 in L.A. Or you think about Michelle McNamara. She wrote that book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which became an HBO series. There was a girl who was murdered near her. So this is a thing that happens to people. So my mother was very affected by the real murder, and I finally sat down to do the research. And, of course, in the modern era, there is so much available on the Internet. So I was able to read pretty expansively on the actual crime. I was able to get the coroner's report. The police would not give me the police report because it is technically an open case. And it became this twisty thriller with two narratives set in Florida in the pandemic, where you have a writer researching the murder of her mother's best friend, and you have the story of a younger woman married to a very handsome fellow from Argentina who disappears at the beginning of the COVID lockdown. He's from Argentina. He gets on a plane to Buenos Aires. He's seen on security footage at Miami International in his face mask with their two little children. And that young woman can't follow him because of the border closures. So it's not really about the pandemic, but the pandemic serves as a very constraining background, a little bit like wartime. And as you go along, you start to peel the onion of what one woman has to do with the other.
Well, it is an onion, and it is wonderful how you develop the story. Of course, you're very cinematic because, I mean, you've got the experience, so you know not only how to paint the picture and put the reader right there, but you've got the dialogue that moves, you know, and this is really great because when the dialogue moves, you know, sometimes people have difficulty with dialogue, but you don't have. You're great.
Oh, thank you. You know, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, the actress in you just comes out. And, of course, you know, I think about your mother, and I think about knowing that she might have been there that night. She might have gone over to her friend's house. It just gives you shivers to think about it.
Well, and it also makes you wonder, on the other hand, might the whole thing not have happened had my mother been there? Was this one of those crimes that just was like the perfect storm in weather, where all things had to kind of come together to allow this horrible thing to happen? And I, of course, I'll never have the answer to that.
Well, you might. You know, nowadays, with they're finding these DNA links because people are registering their DNA. You never know if they will open this case again.
You never know. That is true. Stranger things have happened.
And perhaps with this publicity from the book, they will actually step up and pull out that old cardboard box and start re-examining the DNA and seeing if they can find something. Because it would be great to solve this case.
I know they did in 2008. I do have that information, and they were not able to really get any clarity on DNA. But maybe technology.
Oh, it's changed.
Yeah. Advanced.
You don't need Abby Schuto from NCIS anymore. They have it. So hopefully they will look into it. But meanwhile, you've created this fascinating book that is a real. As I said, particularly I love thrillers in cold weather. I really find, I tuck myself into my favorite reading chair, and I have something nice and hot to drink. And then when I'm reading a thriller, I get so lost in it. Now, of course, you wrote this during the pandemic, and so you know what we all went through. All those, when you look at it now, you see 2020, sort of 2019, 2020. It's all sort of vague,
Right. And it was very interesting to be writing in that period of that period. I once read, someone said, if you just write what's happening every day, in a way you're writing history. When I reread the book recently, there's a moment where the writer in Reef Road turns on the television and that ship is sailing into New York Harbor. If you recall, it was called Comfort. It was a huge vessel that they were going to use as a floating hospital. They also had a field hospital in Central Park. And with the vantage point of where we are now, we know that as bad as it was, it kind of stopped at a certain point. It didn't go farther. But when you're in the middle of something like that, you just don't know. For example, I was in France on 9/11, and my two children were in Westchester County, New York. They were little at the time. And for a few days, it was not known if I was going to be able to get on a plane and go home. So when you're writing in the middle of something like that, it's very different than when you write after the fact.
Yeah, I think about this pandemic period, and for those of us who, I was also, locked up, and for a while I even, broadcast from home, sitting next to my dishwasher, because I didn't dare come into the studio. You didn't know what was happening, and it was really so frightening and so disconcerting that...
It was terrifying.
It
was a different illness then, in those early months, than it is now. And I know that, we shouldn't be totally cavalier now, but I don't think it's the same situation now. It was brand new out of nowhere. In many ways, you think about what you read in history when, the Cherokees were given the blankets that had smallpox or whatever, or Western explorers showed up on Pacific Islands and carried immunities to diseases that the local people just didn't have. So we were in that situation in 2020. And it was unknown how you could get it. I mean, we were all standing there figuring out, honestly, do we or do we not Clorox our bananas? We just didn't know.
Well, I think the way that you bring this, this whole masking thing, and when we get to the part where her husband is getting on a plane, and we don't know what's going to happen. I tell you, that really, I'm like twisting my hands together for a moment there as I was reading. It's just great writing.
Well, thank you. And a face mask is a very nifty device in a thriller.
You used it very well. So, you're, as I said, you're a great writer. Just for a moment, let's talk about because, as you mentioned, this program, so many of the people who come on this program, listen to the program, are people who want to write, and it's the beginning of January, and a lot of people will say, I'm going to start my book in January. What were the biggest influences on your writing as you look back on the books that influenced you from your childhood?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, I'm an only child, so I read a lot. I probably was very drawn to all the gothic novels as a young girl, you know, Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights and The Woman in White and all the English gothic novels. So my second book, Ruby Falls, is very influenced by that genre. And I just remained a reader my whole life. So I would say to all the writers out there, there are people who say they don't read when they're writing. I do. I always read at night. And I'm very inspired by other people's writing. And I don't read in one genre. I read really across the board. I have a little thing I do on Instagram where I talk about other people's books. And I never talk about a book I don't like. There's no point in that. I talk about books I like. And I call it a Friday read. So that's kind of a fun thing. So it keeps me reading. And I host a little series with readers at a hotel my husband and I restored in Watch Hill, Rhode Island, called the Ocean House. So I'm a big believer in reading, reading, reading. And I would add to that film. I'm very influenced by film. And I find the two are inextricable in my mind. I do write a book and see it like a movie, but I prefer the mechanism of writing a novel. I don't like to say, you know, smash cut or fade to black or all these other things you have to write in a screenplay. It's a different way of writing.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Wuthering Heights and Jane Eyre, because I think if you read those two books as a young person, they really can influence the rest of your life. And right now I'm doing a deep dive into Jane Eyre, because it's going to be sort of my year-long project here to promote people to read Jane Eyre, because I think it's so marvelous. And along with Wuthering Heights, that if you want to be a writer, you should read the best. And those two are really unbelievable.
You're absolutely right. And I remember being at a movie theater where Peter Bogdanovich, the director, was speaking. And a young person stood up and said, well, how should I even learn to make a movie? He said, spend a year watching a movie every day. Nothing made after, I don't know, he picked a year, like 1963, 64, I don't know which year. But the point he was making, and I was very intrigued by that, is exactly what you're saying. Go back to the source. Go back. There's, as we all know, there's nothing new. We're all just doing theme and variation on what's been done before. And the more you're comfortable with that, the more you can play with it.
You're so right, and that's good advice to everybody, that read well and read deeply and enjoy, you know, reading the great books from the past, whether it's, you know, Jane Eyre, Wuthering Heights, Moby Dick, when you read these books, you learn so much about writing, you learn so much about yourself, and I think they help you to learn to think through the process.
Absolutely, and I'm a great believer in rereading. You know, I think it was Mark Twain who said something about, when I was 15, my father was the stupidest man I'd ever met. By the time I was 25, I was surprised to see how much he'd learned. And that's, you know, obviously about how we change. And I think that's true of reading. You reread something like, you know, a Huckleberry Finn or Jane Eyre. It's a completely different book now than it was when you read it 30 years ago. It's just different, because you're different.
Exactly. Let's talk for a moment. Which do you, who do you prefer, Darcy or Mr. Rochester?
Oh, Darcy or Mr. Rochester?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I don't know about Heathcliff.
Or Heathcliff. Well, those gothic men, because you never know if they're a force for for good or for harm. And of course, I like writing men like that. I would have to say, poor Heathcliff. I feel sorry for him. I think Mr. Rochester I'd have to go for.
Oh, good. I do, too. I'm so happy you do. Two girls from Detroit.
That's right.
That's great. So many pick Darcy, but I fell in love with Mr. Rochester. I think he's fantastic. What a character.
He's got a good brooding quality. We all need a little brooding.
That's it. Wow. You know, you've done such a terrific job with this book, and it's so exciting. And, of course, you have the wonderful thing for you is you have all these great connections. So I would think, now I was surprised that Finding Mrs. Ford hasn't become a film, but this one, definitely, I think this...
Well, it was optioned, and it had a fantastic actress attached, and we will see. All of this can be a very, very long process.
Yes, I'm aware. I was in Hollywood for a short period of time, and three of my spec scripts were optioned.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And they are still in turnaround. Yes. they're spinning around like crazy.
A great story there. The children's book, A Wrinkle in Time, was written in the early 60s by Madeline L'Engle. 30 years later, when I was a story editor at Miramax, I was the editor working with two screenwriters on that project. Madeline L'Engle had given the rights to her goddaughter. In the course of working on this, the goddaughter's husband died suddenly, tragically. He was only 40 years old. I would have told you then that project was dead. 20 years after that, the Black American female director, Ava DuVernay, made it as a movie with a multiracial cast, and I was in awe of the whole process. And I thought, you know, we just don't ever understand the life, our own lives, or the life of a creative project. 50 years from the book to the movie, and it traveled in a, talk about a twisty path, something I could never have predicted, and it actually gave me a lot of hope that we just never know what the future holds.
That's true, you know, and it does sometimes perhaps one little spark or maybe one actress or actor will read, you know, be interested enough to, you know, talk to you about it. I was very young, and I landed up in a lawsuit against the studio. Which that's bad. I didn't know that. And my lawyer was 6 months out of law school, you know, from his law school.
Right.
That was a bad choice I made because we went to the boardroom of a certain major studio, and there were like 9 lawyers there, and this sweet, sweet sweetheart, the son of a friend, and he looked at me. And he looked at those 9 lawyers, and I knew he wanted to be on the other side of the table, and I had no chance.
And I'm sure they ate him alive.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did. So, you know.
Well, there's a novel in that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there
that
is.
That sounds really interesting.
Well, there is. And as a matter of fact, I on and off, I've worked on the script for years, sort of killing off lawyers. It's complicated, but
so it's a locked room mystery. 12 lawyers in a room.
That's
one
it.
Ends up dead.
But that's why I'm living here on the west coast of Florida instead of the west coast of California. But I prefer it here in Florida. I love it here in Clearwater. So next time you're in Florida, you have to come and visit me here.
Well, thank you. I'll be traveling all around Florida in the next couple of months. I'll be traveling all around the country. With this book, I have a very robust schedule, which can be found on my webpage, which is my name, DeborahGoodrichRoyce.com, or my Instagram page. Same thing.
Perfect, perfect. And again, I lived in Detroit. I lived on Glendale Avenue, which was just off Woodward Avenue. And I have so many fond memories of those days when I was a kid. I loved it. I had a wonderful time. Woodward Avenue was something special. The Detroit Institute of Art. Oh, what a place.
Well, you know, there's an incredible revival in Detroit, both downtown and midtown. you know, they have a long way to go with a lot of the neighborhoods because so many houses have been lost and over these really 50 years of decline. But I would say the downtown and the midtown, by midtown I mean around the Detroit Institute of Arts and Wayne State University and the Historical Museum, very robust and vibrant hotels, boutiques, you know. I've gone back a few times in recent years, and it's very exciting what's happening.
Well, I do wish they hadn't blown up Hudson's department store.
Right.
Oh, that was a terrible thing they did. Just terrible.
Right. Yeah.
I still don't see any reason for it. They could have tried to preserve it. It was such a beautiful place. Do you remember it?
Oh, very well. I remember going with my mother and my grandmother. I remember being taken there, you know, for school clothes shopping and Christmas shopping, all sorts of things. And then we moved more to like Eastland or Northland. Well, I remember when Eastland was outdoors, and then they enclosed it. But I think Eastland is gone. I think those malls are gone.
Oh, yeah, they're all gone.
There's been really a seismic shift in all of that.
But there was nothing, you know, Hudson's department store, I think, was the largest department store in the country at the time. It was so beautiful. And the window display at Christmas, we used to just walk back and forth in front of those windows.
Oh,
I loved Christmas in Detroit. It was wonderful.
Yes. Well, I do think there's stuff happening in that exact area. You know what I did? I went back and I hired a driver from, there's a Detroit Preservation Society or something like that, Historical Society, something. You can get in touch with that group. And I hired a tour guide and a driver the first time I went back. It was very helpful.
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother had said one time, I'm not going back unless I have a tank. But now it's great that you can actually drive around and see what's happening in Detroit. And I hope that they can pull it all together and it can be vibrant again.
Well,
because
I had dinner at a cafe, an outdoor cafe alone on Woodward Avenue downtown in recent years.
That's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I think that you know this book is so good, and I just want to tell people, get Reef Road and check it out. And it's Deborah Goodrich Royce. And when you finish Reef Road, go and get Finding Mrs. Ford. Both of these books are just so well written and so much fun to read. And when you finally get a movie deal for Reef Road, will you come back and announce it here on Joy on Paper? It would really thrill me.
With joy, I will come back to Joy on Paper.
Okay,
thank you.
I don't get a lot of breaking news here, but boy, that'd be fun for me to have some breaking news. Okay.
Well, thank you so very much.
Okay, bye bye now, Deborah. Great talking to you.
Bye
bye.
You too.
Happy New Year. All right. Okay. Let's have some commercials and... Oh, no. We're going to have a book buzz. Bye. I forgot. Let's do... Okay. We'll do the book buzz when we come back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for my next guest, and it's going to be a fun interview. It's something just special here for the beginning of the year because everybody's interested in diet and health and getting some good ideas, and so I'm looking forward to talking to Andre Michalaitis, and we're going to be talking about the Noom mindset, and he should be calling in any minute. Meanwhile, I want to remind everyone that on Thursday, my guest is going to be Eliana Gilad, and she's written a book called Thrive Through Uncertainty, Emerge Triumphant, and I am looking forward to talking to her because, again, it's the beginning of the year, and everybody is thinking about how to make this year a better year than last year, at least personally, because I'm not so sure if we can do it on an international, global level. 2023 gives us so many challenges, but we can control one thing. We can control ourselves, more or less, at least if we get some help, and if we get some ideas and input into good ways to help make our lives better. And so I thought that it would be great to talk to Eliana about her book, because she is looking at it from the point of view of feminism and power, and I think that we will learn a lot from reading her book and talking to her. So I'm looking forward to that, and that will be on Thursday, and she will be my guest, and you can make sure that you use tune in if you're out of the area of where we broadcast, but definitely listen to this interview because I'm going to enjoy very much trying to help you think of ways in which you can make your life a little bit better in 2023. Can you believe it? It's 2023. Anyway, we're into the beginning, and please make sure that you send me an email, patsy.radio@gmail.com. Not joymail. It should be joymail. patsy.radio@gmail.com. And tell me if you're going to start writing your book this year. And if you are, let's keep in contact over the next 360. We have, 363 days? Let's keep in contact. And if I can help you in any way, if I can encourage you, if I can give you any ideas on how to get your book started and how you can keep focused on writing that book. Remember, if you write just 300 pages a day, 5 days a week, at the end of the year, you're going to have 78,000 words, and which is a nice size book. Certainly, for a memoir, it's just about perfect. And if you're writing a novel, you might want to get up to 85, but it doesn't matter. That's a good start. Again, it's just 5 days a week, 300 words a day. It's not a lot, but it can be done. But you have to be determined, and you have to set aside the time every day to write. And even when days you don't feel like you can write, sit down and start writing something, and you will be amazed at how the story will come to you. And I think if you have really good characters, you will find that the characters will take over And they will start giving you all these ideas of where your story should go. So that's part of the excitement of being an author. And I hope that you will, if you've been dreaming about it for years, you will finally say, this year I'm going to do it. Whether it's a memoir, a psychological thriller, like I was just talking about, it doesn't matter what you want to write, just write. And particularly all of you vets out there, writing really helps. And I don't mean writing a story about what you went through in the war, but writing a story that you can share with your family, perhaps a memoir, but perhaps something, even a cookbook or a children's book, a book for your children or your grandchildren, because writing is a healing process. You find yourself sort of getting out of your own problems and thinking about the problems of your characters. So I hope that you will be doing that and get busy, you know? You don't, and by the way, you do not need a computer. I don't want to hear people say, oh, I don't have a computer. You can start with just writing by hand. Tolstoy did it. Proust did it. And they wrote thousands and thousands of pages, so you can do it too. So it's really always so exciting when people start writing, and that's all I want for you, is to have a really successful 2023. We went through so much, the difficult years, 2020, I don't know, starting 2019, did it start in 2019? We're still, it's all just sort of a foggy memory. But now we are going to get ourselves in shape because it's 2023, and with the help of Andre Michaelides, we can all get in shape using the Noom mindset. Hi, Dr. Michaelides.
Hi. Hi, how are you? It's great to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you. And I thought, well, what better way to start off the new year than your book? Because it is a way to learn the science and lose the weight. So tell us about this book and how you can help all of my listeners.
Great. Yeah, great question. So the book is really meant to give your listeners the information about how their brain works and how behavior change works, and to give you all the different skills that are necessary. So we built the Noom program over the past 14 years, and we decided to put it all together on a piece of paper and turn it into a book that anyone can use.
And you have a lot of information in here that I think will help people focus on what they need to learn, what they need to do in their lives. And from the beginning where you say, you rule. And what does that
That's
mean?
Right. It means that you have the ability to make changes in your life. Knowing that, you know, everyone's life has different obstacles, everyone has their own personal environmental things that that might stand in the way of behavior change. The idea with the book is to give you all the knowledge so that you can apply it into your own personal situation to maximize your chance of making meaningful changes.
Well, of course, it's the third day into the new year, and people are setting resolutions, and they need to set goals. That's the important thing. How do they focus on setting the right goals for themselves?
Yeah, it's a really powerful question. I think before you even set a goal, it's important to think about why you're setting a goal. What is the context around that? It's the equivalent of leaving your home with a destination in mind, as opposed to just sort of wandering. So keeping the why in mind is incredibly, incredibly important, especially as things get difficult, and they will, because behavior change is really difficult. Then above and beyond that, when it comes to setting goals, I would start really small, and I would set a SMART goal, which is It's not something that Noom invented, but it's something that we embrace and we use. And that really means setting a goal that is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound or time-limited. So setting a small goal around something that has more context, which is your why, is what I would recommend as maybe a first step.
Well, you know, we are facing a crisis here in definitely in the United States with people being overweight.
Sure.
And what do you think the impact here? Perhaps you can give us some statistics, but what is the impact of encouraging people to gain weight? I'm worried a little bit about media talking about it's not so bad to be overweight. What do you feel about this?
Yeah, it's definitely a hot topic. It's absolutely a hot topic. We know that for certain categories of obesity, losing weight can decrease your chances of developing, chronic disease. So I think there are different sides of this spectrum. We also have a media that likes to put out what is the perfect person, how the perfect person looks, and that's not really realistic. And it also can impede on someone's ability to love themselves. So ultimately, health looks different for every single person. And with the book, the idea is that you will cultivate the kinds of changes in your healthy habits that work for you and your specific lifestyle. I think as far as statistics go, one that comes to mind is that 45% of the population struggles with at least one chronic condition, and that's a lot. That really is a lot.
So the ultimate goal of the Noom project, the Noom mindset, what do you hope people will get out of this?
Well, Noom's mission is to help people everywhere lead healthier lives through behavior change, and the ultimate goal with the book is to disseminate that information across a larger population so that more and more people can lead healthier lives through behavior change. And weight loss could be one of those things that you do. We like to think about health as being on four different pillars, which is nutrition, sleep, exercise, and stress management. And so what we're hoping to accomplish with this book is to help the most amount of people in the world lead a healthy life.
But it comes back to the fact is when we're talking about healthy, what is healthy? When, you don't think that it means keeping the weight down?
Yeah, so healthy is different to different people. For some people, it does mean keeping the weight down. For other people, it might be changing the voice in their head that criticizes them all the time. So health takes different shapes and forms for different people. And for many people, yeah, it is maintaining a stable weight. But I will definitely say that healthy looks different for different people, and that's your journey to kind of figure out what that is.
Now, when you started the Noom project, you came out with coaches to help people, right?
Coaching was not added until later on within the program. So we actually. When Noom was when originally started, it was geared towards just fitness and exercise. And then, the co-founders, really realized that, hey, there's a lot more to getting a healthy lifestyle than just, exercising and that sort of thing. And that's where the organization took a real big pivot to thinking about it using a psychological approach. And So we hired our first coach in 2015, and the program was built since then.
So when you talk about the psychology of eating, what advice do you have for my listeners?
So number one piece of advice is to just to increase your awareness of yourself and your thinking, and you know your thinking around eating. We all eat for many, many different reasons, and you know those reasons might be the same at all different points of time. But the idea is to increase your awareness and be more mindful of yourself within these behaviors is a very important first step, because in order to change a pattern or to do something different, you have to kind of see it happening. The book helps you increase your awareness so that you can draw your attention to some of those things. And then the second thing I'll say for your listener is to just really start off small. You know, Rome was not built in a day, and so doing something very small and building on that can be extremely powerful, yet is very underestimated.
Well, what do you call this miraculous mind set, mindfulness? What is that?
What is mindfulness?
No, the miraculous one. we have a lot of the chapter where you're talking about miraculous mindfulness. What do you mean by that? How do we get to that point where something's miraculous?
Yeah, it takes a very long time, and is very, very difficult to do. Essentially, when we think about miraculous mindfulness, it's learning how to be in the moment and to be present with whatever you are doing. And it's hard to even understand that concept or to wrap your brain around the positive feelings of being present in the moment that you're in without being exposed to that idea in and of itself. I wasn't raised with the idea of mindfulness even being a concept, even being a thing. And even after I learned about mindfulness as a psychologist, I didn't wrap my brain around it until I've had some moments that really connected me to the present moment. And so the idea behind that chapter is that that mindfulness is a thing. It exists, and it takes some time to cultivate and some practice. But if you do it, there are some very demonstrated positive effects of being present in the moment.
Well, the name of the book is The Noom Mindset: Learn the Science and Lose the Weight. Do you have a website that you want people to go to find out more?
Sure. Absolutely, yeah. So you can go to Noom, NOOM.com /book to find out about the book. Or if you want to check out more information about Noom or the program, you could just go to Noom.com. That's NOOM.com.
And they can find out more about the program and what you're doing. And hopefully they will get this book and go through the chapters carefully, thinking about why they pick up the book in the first place. If you pick up the book, it means you want something. You need something in your life. And Noom, the Noom Mindset, Learn Science, Lose the Weight, will help you focus on the things that are important for you to understand. Correct?
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. The idea is to learn about yourself and about all the processes that take place.
And hopefully next year you can be back here on the first of the year, and we can talk about some of the progress. I'm asking my listeners to send me notes, and if they make progress in their lives because of the book, to tell me about it, and then we'll have you back in a year. Is that a good idea?
Amazing. I love it. Sounds great.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the program today. Again, the name of the book is The Noom Mindset: Learn Science, Lose Weight, and you can get it from their website or online, and I'm sure in bookstores. Again, Dr. Michaelides, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful day.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. Bye-bye now. Bye. Okay, everybody. That's an interesting book, and exactly that. You know, if you get this book, you know, we all have to do, you know, this. I can't believe, really, that 20, 21, and 22 are like, they're gone. They're sort of, it's like just one big blur in my head. I don't remember a lot of it, I think. But if you get this book, I love it, too. It's orange. I love orange-colored books. I love orange cars and orange-colored books. So get this book. It's interesting. And you've heard about the Noom diet, and now you can learn more and discover what in the world is going on and make 2023 a bit better year for yourself. It has to get better this year. Again, my email is patsy.radio@gmail.com. Write to me if you started to write a book this year, and write to me if you start this Noom. Essentially, you know, let's get real here. It's a Noom diet. You need a diet. We all need a diet. And, you know, when I just want to say, when the stewardess can't fit into the jump seat, I start getting worried. So we all have to think about a diet if we are so inclined. So again, anyway, it's been a heck of a time, and I hope that 2023 is going to be a better year for all of us. And here at Joy on Paper, I would really like to ask you, please go to my Facebook page, which is Radio Joy on Paper. Facebook messed me up, and they for a long time they they really messed me up. But my official Facebook page is Radio Joy on Paper. So go to Radio Joy on Paper on Facebook, like me, comment on some of the author's books that I am talking about on Facebook. And I've done some really nice videos for authors because I want to help them promote their books. So go to Facebook, Radio Joy on Paper, and like me, follow me, and share my posts, because it really would help me here on Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. So it can happen to you. All you have to do is start writing, and it's the third day of this new year, and this is a good time to start. Don't put it off any longer. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody every day. And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything you do for me. And he saluted me, and I saluted him. And it's going to be a lovely, lovely day here in Clearwater, Florida. We are very lucky. Stay warm up north, you people. I know you're all freezing up there. Take care. Bye-bye now.